Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
Welcome to the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Supercoach Co-Captains Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dano, and with me as always, we have Paddo. Welcome, Paddo.
Yes, hello, Dano. Hello, listeners. Quite a bit of carnage to sift through this evening, which we will get to very soon. Yeah, if you've still got a boost, this is the kind of week that you are licking your lips like myself because might actually be able to get two primos in this week and catch up because I've had another shit week, but we'll get to that.
Okay, well, we're going to start with a group winner, and I'm really disappointed, Paddo, because this is like the first week in ages that we don't have a really fucking hilarious team name. But Scott has won this week with his team black on white. What was his score, and who do you have?
I mean, it's kind of X-rated if you look too much into the name of that. But anyway, so yeah, Scott scored 2,535, which is a really nice score. Got massive scores from Sinclair, Dale, Smith, Libber, Cherry was his captain, Marshall, Warner, and he doesn't have Jason Horne-Francis, which obviously helps a lot, and actually has some playing rookies, which is kind of weird to see.
Yeah, you know it's messed up, Paddo. I was so close to trading Marshall in for TDK, and yeah, I didn't, and Marshall popped off. So good on you, Scotty.
We will get to that.
No, we'll get to our scores ourselves now, Paddo.
If we must.
Well, it's next on the run sheet. You made the run sheet, so.
True.
I'll start off with mine. So apparently I was ranked in the top 6% with a 2,348 debut of my new primo Libber came in, and I put him as vice captain, and he gave me a juicy 140 as vice captain. So I took it, and I did flirt. And I know I said this in the group chat. I did flirt with the idea of going Max Gorn at sea after learning about Big O out. Glad I stuck with Libber. Because yeah, he ended up scoring more. So I had a good, relatively okay round. The thing is though, we've got like guys like Harry Sheasel who constantly change positions and are getting me quite frustrated. My defense is still weak as fuck, and I did, Paddo, go early on Kitty Coleman this week because I traded in Sardell Hawley, and I was like, right, okay, if he scores well, I won't trade in Kitty Coleman. And then, obviously, you got Brad Scott, who doesn't know what he's fucking doing, subbing El Hawley out at, what, halftime or whatever? Don't know why I didn't sub out Day Wicks, but anyway. And then I traded in Kitty Coleman, and he got a nice 72 off of 68% time on ground. So I was all good. It started off well. Noah Anderson, big 152, but Brayshaw's 99, Rosie's 91 kind of let me down a bit. When the TDK news came out, I traded TDK out, and I didn't actually replace him with another ruck, Paddo, and I kept Matty Flynn at R2, and he beat his break even. Now he's going to go up by even more, so he got a 111. Obviously, Bailey Smith's 156. Juicy Chad Warner 126 in there, Paddo. All-time great stuff. So I am now currently ranked. I went up in rank, so I'm currently ranked 3,870. But I've got a bit of carnage this round that I've got to sort out. How about you? How'd you go?
Yeah, well, I scored 22-14, which is obviously dreadful again. I don't even know what my ranking is. I can't count that high. As I said before, I can bring in two primos this week, so I'm hoping that really fixes things. I got three sub-affected scores. So Gross started as the captain. Scored 42, which actually wasn't too bad. Came on in the second quarter, I believe, of that game. Also had Sardell Hawley on field for his half a game in 47, which would have actually got him, I think, the most out of any Essendon player if you doubled that in the second half. But anyway.
Yep.
And of course, Jason Horne-Francis as well, who was subbed out on 22. So pretty brutal. I still, like, I don't hate my team. That's what's really weird. I just, yeah, got some things I need to fix up, which we might touch on next a little bit later. I was happy with Sinclair coming into my team. I flirted with Zach Merritt all week, and I actually changed to Sinclair just before Essendon played. They played first, didn't they?
Yeah, they played Friday, yeah. Saturday night. Yep.
Yeah, so I went with Sinclair, and I'm very glad I pivoted for obvious reasons. And Merritt's break-even is out to 200-odd now, and I think he got like 60-something. So clearly won that decision, and my midfield is my defense is almost finished, which is nice. Very happy. I've got the four big dogs in defense, Whitfield, Cheezel, Zorko, Sinclair. So very wrapped with that. My midfield actually did pretty good this week. I did have two tag affected games in Brayshaw and Dacos, but Cripps is coming good. Rowell had his first good score in a while. We will get to him. I think the run is actually a lot better than his last 3 weeks, and he just copped like three really bad matchups in a row, which is showing as to why he was scoring poorly. And Lachie Neale got a nice 100 for me, which was nice. My ruck line, gee, when I saw Darcy Fort was a late in Dano and he was going to be rucking against Max Gorn, I was worried that Cherry, who was my captain, would get absolutely obliterated by Max Gorn and he'd get another 200-odd. So a little bit surprising that he only got 119, but clearly still happy with that. Cherry was my captain, which was nice. Baz Smith, Dano, like we had the question last week. He's a fucking captaincy option, but we will get to that after. But he was my only 100 in my forward line. Bit of a down week for forwards this week, but yeah, there's some shit in the bottom of that barrel that we're going to have to sift through in this episode, and yeah, forward lines are not looking good.
Well, let's rattle off the injuries and suspension. So Jason Horne-Francis, Hammy, 3 to 4 weeks. Then we've got Jack McRae. I'm just going to quickly touch on this one, Paddo. Originally, it came out it was his back, but since then, apparently he's punctured his lung, and that's why he couldn't get on the flight back down to Melbourne, and they're actually going to make him... Well, they're going to see if he can do a drive down the Nullarbor. Like, who was it that did that?
Jeremy McGovern.
Yeah, the McGovern style.
He did the reverse, though. He was driving home, but same shit.
Yeah, same shit. So he's still in the hospital. So yeah, that's pretty fucking full on. So there's two primo forwards down. And then you got Finn Callahan's shoulder, 3 to 4 weeks. It was a minor dislocation, but what people don't realize is when it's minor, it's actually probably a lot more annoying to fix than a straight-out dislocation. So 3 to 4 weeks, having so many fucking dislocations myself, Paddo, having 3 to 4 weeks there. And then we don't have him on the run sheet, but this just came up on Twitter that apparently Jai Newcomb's in a moon boot, Paddo.
Yeah, didn't ankle in that second quarter, played out the game and was actually fine, but apparently he hasn't pulled up well. So that can kind of happen. Like once it cools down the next morning, it can just balloon up, and that's clearly what has happened without being inside the club, obviously. That can't look good. So if you have knocked off the quaddy, this is not the quaddy that you want. There will be teams out there with all four of those players, which is pretty brutal for you, obviously, especially if you're sitting on a midfield bench like mine. I just want to touch on the McRae situation, if that is the case. So McGovern, they said that McGovern will play possibly the next week or just miss 1 week and then play the following week. He ended up missing three games after that, when he punctured his lung. So not saying that that's going to be the same with McRae. I know they're worried about his back as well because Ross Lyon actually – referenced that in his press conference and said it's not looking good. Whether that is the lung or whether that is a back and lung, like we'll see. We don't have the injury list just yet, but I feel like he'll be on there as a TBA because it can just all depend on how it calms down. And like the fact that he can't even fly, I think it's almost certain he's not going to play this week. But we will probably have some questions about some of this, and we'll touch on it when we talk about forwards. So we won't go too much into the strategy behind that just yet, but stay tuned because we absolutely will.
Well, we're going to try and rattle a lot of these fuckers off because there's just a lot of questions regarding trades and players. Yeah. And
it's a big week.
Not, Yeah, so let's just rattle off these rookies. We'll try not to delve into them too much, Pato. So rookie trade-ins, Cooper Simpson, 119K forward, minus 53 break-even, 62 average. It's just a hope that he holds his spot. He got like a 70-odd. Looks to be okay. Thoughts?
Yeah, as long as he holds his spot, I think he's a great trade-in.
Yeah, we got Hugh Boxall, 113K mid, minus 46 break-even, 57 average. If McRae's out for a little bit, Hugh Boxall might come in for him. Or it might end up being – is Philippou injured or what's going on with him? Is he – because he played.
Yeah, I didn't catch that injury, but he played and he got midfield minutes but apparently got injured. I don't actually know what the go is there. Hugh Boxall had 30 touches in the VFL and kicked a goal. So if McRae is out, Boxall would be a candidate to come back in. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. I reckon they had 8 midfielders go through that CBA sort of group. They were just trying to throw darts and see what works.
Yep.
So you couldn't possibly do it with a lot of confidence, but yeah, maybe comes out that McRae's going to miss a month and Ross Lyon comes out and says, look, it's Hugh Boxall's spot to lose. And then you can jump on with confidence, but you can't right now.
Yep. Thomas Sims, 113K forward ruck, minus 26 break even, 47 average. Slow burn as fuck there, Pato. Not really screaming pick me.
No, and worth noting that his two games have been against West Coast and North as well, and he hasn't managed to score more than 48. But he's playing up forward, playing as a backup ruck, so the role isn't horrible. It does, yeah, he won't make you money. He would be a season-long keeper. But sometimes a warm body is all you need.
Yep. Jackson Binns, 171K mid, minus 19 break-even, 61 average. Got a little bit of an inflated price tag there. But I don't trust Carlton with the rotation of their rookies at the moment, especially when you got Ben Cambriale screaming, pick me.
Isn't it Lucas doing well in the VFL?
Nah, wasn't Lucas the one that was?
Oh, he's the one that's started. Already played. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
but Ben is the superior Cambriale, and he's the one bashing down the door.
No, Scott was.
Wait, I'm confused.
Scott is their father, who was actually a good footy player.
Yeah, I know, but we're talking
about he's the superior Cambriale. Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, look, I don't know. Binns is an okay option, but again, inflated price. So most people probably only have 2 trades to play with this week and they want someone cheaper, but he's an option.
Yeah. Archer Day, Wicks, 99K, mid/forward, minus 11 break-even, 35 average. Look, if this dude doesn't get fucking dropped, he's got something on Brad Scott, honestly.
Yeah, I can't imagine he holds.
Some form of nudes. and then we got, here we go. James Leake, 119K defender, minus 6 break-even, 39 average. Yeah, now, you said he's got 39 touches in the VFL, but then when I look, it says 33. So I'm really confused because I think I'm using a different app to you, Pato.
I'm using the official VFL app.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm using Footy Live.
There you go. So, that's interesting. Footy Live is wrong. You're the Giants fan amongst us, but it's surely between him and Ralston who comes in.
I'm going on Ralston.
Honestly. Yeah, but Leake is on the bubble, so he could be, like, if he's named on ball and it comes out that Callan's going to miss a month, like, you could get a month of midfield time from James Leake. I don't know how far away Josh Kelly is, but, like, they've got to throw someone in there.
Kelly's at least another week away.
There you go. So Leake could be an option.
I just want to say something before we get into the trade-ins and whatnot, and that is the strategy stuff, Pato. So, like, We're having 2 completely different seasons, and I'm the one taking a bit more of a risk with things, and I think you're playing it a bit more safe. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, compared to normal, yes.
Yeah, considering that last year I was the safe one.
Yeah.
And I held my trades and whatnot, and I came home like a freight train. At the moment, I'm the one going, nah, let's fucking upgrade as quick as possible. Going early on guys that haven't played a game. So, like, I did it with Kitty Coleman, and we're not talking rookies anymore, because fuck Jed Buslinger. Fuck Bo Allen. We're talking like guys like your Kitty Colemans and the main one, Callum Mills.
Yeah.
So Millsy with his 19 disposal, half and a goal. If you're desperate or you're a bit risky, would you think that going early on these guys before they've even played a game is kind of an okay idea? Because I'm personally, no. if Mills is named, I kind of want to just bring him in.
I think it's crazy, especially someone coming off a long-term injury. Coleman was managed. His minutes were managed. You've also got Philippou, who is being managed a little bit as well, coming off a not quite as a longer-term injury as Coleman or Mills, but still coming off that injury. I feel like you need to wait. It can just go wrong too easily. What's crazy is that if you've still got Riley Bias like me, you could spend $3,000 and get Callum Mills in.
Yep.
But I just can't help but think that you've got to at least have a look. If he comes out and scores 130 this week and gets 80% CBAs and, you know, still plays 75 to 80% game time, like, I could be convinced next week. But I think jumping on before you've had at least one look is not good. And you've only got to look at Kitty Coleman and how he went over the weekend.
He was fine. 72 in 68% time on ground. And might I add, as you're a Zorko owner, you should be worried. Because when he was on the field, Zorko never really touched the pill.
Yeah, I mean, I'm slightly concerned. I just want to have a look and see how it plays out.
Yeah, 72 in 68% time on ground is fine. So, and especially when the guy's 270K.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so and this is where we're different at the moment. I'm doing the more risky shit, and it's generally paying off. It's probably going to slap me in the face soon with shithousery. But with the whole shit rookie situation that we've got, and like your Smiley bloke is fucking injured again, and we're like Harry Rowson's not getting a crack, and you've like Ben Cambriale can't get a gig even though he's playing fucking well in the VFL. It's just things like that. You're like fucking just screaming, just pick the fuckers, and then they'll get one game and get dropped again, or they'll be sub. So I'm actually all for it. Anyway, just wanted to quickly dabble, whatever you want to say on that, before we go into our trading options. So, defense. We're just going to quickly say Zorko, Sinclair, Jordan Clark. They're all really good prices. My rule this season is do not trade in anyone over 600K. It's been working so far. These blokes are 600K blokes, in my opinion, and they're all in the 500K range. So, Pato, should you have all three?
I mean, yeah, I can hear an argument about Zorko with Kitty Coleman, but I think you'd certainly need Sinclair. His price and break even are still really good. And isn't he the second highest averaging defender?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I think he's a no-brainer. You're going to want Whitfield. And Jordan Clark is currently the sixth averaging defender.
What about a Lockie Ash, Pato?
I see it. I keep saying that I don't know if it stays, and he has scored really, really well.
He's averaging 111.5 on the season and he's priced at 555K.
Yeah.
And he's got a break even of 112.
It's crazy because he's more expensive than Sinclair and Zorko, who I think are better options, and Jordan Clark as well. And he's about the same price as Harry Sheasel and averaging more.
Yeah. Yeah. He's had three sub 100 scores, 80, 95, 85.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking mental.
And it's almost certain that he's not going to get any sort of lockdown role, because that always goes to Whitfield.
Not even that. Well, actually, this is what's going to be interesting, Pato. Now that Callahan is out of the team, there's no Josh Kelly, Tom Green, they don't really tag. Do people actually start paying attention to a Lockie Ash or a Lockie Whitfield?
Some teams do deploy the forward tag.
Yeah, but the ones that don't really, that usually do the midfield tag, do you reckon they'll start deploying the forward tag on them?
They could.
Something to think about anyway. Move on to the midfielders. So Noah Anderson, 544K, 112 average, 8% owned, 76 break even. He's a fucking menace. I really thought we were going to get a Noah Anderson 180 game last round. Unfortunately, the tagging fin latched onto him in that third quarter, but he came back in the fourth. He's the ultra-consistent one for the Suns with the highest ceiling. And I did say, remember, Pato, that he's a better option than Rao. Stand by it.
Yeah, and we touched preseason about how he could be a really good option, and the only thing holding him back is the consistency, and now we're seeing the consistency, which is obviously what we wanted. So I think it's a really good option, and at 544K, really taking another step as captain of that club as well. Yeah, I mean, 150 odd is not even his ceiling, because he did get clamped for a quarter or two. So he has the potential to go bigger than what he did in that game and has done for the season. And it looks like his floor has risen. So there's a really nice option. Probably be your sort of M7, M8, which you could do a lot worse in that spot.
Next one, kind of rosy, but it's only if you're okay with the following week's buy. 528K, 106 average, 30% owned, 89 break even. He's going to get that defense status. Fucking hurry up. End of round 12. Need this guy. That's what I mean. Hurry up. End of round 12. We want the DPP.
Yeah, he gets it next week. End of round
12. I know, and I'm saying hurry the fuck up. I can't wait till the end of next week being finished.
Yeah.
I want it now.
I think this is a nice option if you're looking at trading out Jason Horne-Francis, because you don't actually lose someone from the bye. I think this is really, you got to be really careful, because I don't think you can add a round 12 bye player if you're not looking good for that bye. So that's the only caveat there. But the price is great when we talk about him most weeks, because his price is still really good. But the break even is actually pretty low now. And he's got Freo this week, who have been giving up big scores to defenders. So, I think it's a nice option.
Yeah, Paddy Cripps, 524K, 100 average, 12% owned, 102 break even. He's starting to hit his straps now, Paddo, but he's got the buy next week.
Yeah, another one on that round 12 buy, but he's got four tons in a row now. And a couple of those games have been against teams that tag, and Sydney and St Kilda have been his last two, and he's still cracked the ton. So I can see why you'd want to wait a week. 2 weeks, because you got the bye there. Bedford's in really bad form as well. So, and Bedford can't go with Cripps. He's just far too big. So,
oh, no. They usually play green on Cripps, and they play off each other. So,
yeah, exactly. So, I think he'll score okay this week. He has got two 140 plus scores against the Giants in the last two. So, there's a little bit of a preview for captains this evening. But then the draw after the bye is insane. So it's Essendon, West Coast, and North Melbourne.
Yep. So next one is Isaac Heaney. I Dream of Heaney, 517K, 102 average, 6% owned, 79 break even. I was so close to bringing this fucker in, Paddo, but I really wanted my Libba. Now, and I still can't believe you haven't put Libba on this sheet. Heaney, a bit of a yellow pick. I'm actually surprised at how bad he's been scoring, and his score could have been mammoth on the weekend. How many points did he kick?
He kicked 2 goals, 5.
Like, what the fuck? So, yeah, he could have had an even bigger score. Mills coming in. We know Mills is going to play in the middle, because Dean Cox said, why wouldn't you play your best midfielder in the midfield? So, Mills and Heaney, I think, and you'll agree, will complement each other. And at 517K... as one of the best players from last season, Heaney's a bargain.
Yeah, Heaney's scoring hasn't been fantastic so far this year. It's been very up and down. Sydney's form has been a bit up and down. I feel like they're really missing that inside guy in that midfield. Funnily enough, they played an inside mid this game in Angus Sheldrick, and actually played him in the middle, and he did a bit of tagging but also scored pretty well. And that coincided with a Heaney 138 and Warner also got 126. So that gives you – obviously, I'm not comparing Mills with
Sheldrick.
Fucking Sheldrick, but they're both inside mids. And previously, Heaney's been asked to play that role. He's capable, but that's not him. Like, he needs on the outside to use those kicking skills. So I feel like Mills will really elevate Isaac Heaney. 517K is really, really cheap for someone that has the sort of scoring capacity of Isaac Heaney. And I actually feel like this does ultimately affect Chad Warner as well, but that is another issue. Look, this feels like a massive YOLO thing, but if you don't have the money to get up to a 530, 540 plus guy, I think Heaney's a really good option, and he's only in 12% of teams, which is really, really low. A lot of people will zig to like really popular players. But if you zag to a Heaney type and he pops off and averages 120 on the rest of the year, which he absolutely has the potential to do, you'll look back and it'll be the best trade you make this year.
Now, Matt Rowell is 464K, 103 average, 13% owned, 72 break even. I couldn't justify spending 550K on Matt Rowell, but I can justify now for 464K, especially if you can't go up to someone like in the 500K range and you're upgrading. Matt Rowell, I reckon, is one that you can potentially go to. And even if he does drop a 90 or something like that, you won't feel that bad. But if he pops out a 130, 140, you feel like a fucking genius.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. The price is really juicy. And again, if you like can't get to Heaney, this is that level below. But when you talk about potential, like this is a 125 plus guy when everything goes right. He struggles a bit with attention, and that's why we've seen four scores of 74, 69, 53, and 80. But every single other score, Dano, has been over 124 in those five games. So there's a bit of real up and downness of that. The upcoming run is actually really nice. So he's got the Saints this week, which isn't the best of matchups because he'll probably go head-to-head with Jack Steele. But then it's Freo, Geelong, GWS, Melbourne, Essendon, Collingwood, who don't tag. Adelaide's not like great. Brisbane isn't a good matchup, but then Richmond, Carlton, GWS, and Port Adelaide to end the year. So the run home is actually nice. There's a couple of tough matchups in there, obviously, but, I mean, everyone has tough matchups. But yeah, bring in your M8 at 464K who could pop off and average 115 from now until the end of the year. I think it's a really nice option.
And Pato will always say this, and you do say this a lot, like they're not a top eight mid or something like that, but it doesn't matter. All that matters is what they average for you from when you trade them in onwards. And like Matty Rowell isn't a top 8 to 10 mid, but he could average your 115, 100, and probably not 120, but 115 onwards, and that's what you need to base it on, and he honestly could do that, so don't mind that. Now, Pato's got on the run sheet, speaking of YOLO picks, was that Matt Rowell, or is this
Yeah, that was Rowell.
Oh, that was Rowell. Oh, fuck, I thought it was the next guy.
No.
Oh, anyway, speaking of YOLO picks for the next guy, Dante Vicentini. 248K, 91 average, 2% owned, minus 34 break even. Oh, I've been looking into this, Pato, and it's at any moment they could be like, nah, he's tired, pull him out and put back in fucking Jordan Sweet and or Soldo at any given moment. So that is a fucking risky ass move. Again, though, it's one of these guys that if he's named, like, what's his cash gen going to be like this week, Pato?
Really, really nice with a break even of negative 34. I just need to highlight that each of the last 2 years, Dante Vicentini has played two random as fuck AFL games in a row and then not play for the rest of the year. Yeah. So in 2023, he played round 20 and 21 for a 2465 that looked like he was playing as a backup ruck. Last year, he came in for round 9 and 10. And what round are we up to, Dano? Just saying.
Yep.
Scored 75 and 94, then didn't play again until round 24, where he scored 29 and he played 20% CBA, so he was the backup ruck. So he's done this before. And just try and imagine how pissed you would be if you bring him in. So if he's named this week, you bring him in. He plays against Freo, which isn't the easiest matchup, whether that's Darcy or whether that's Jackson. And yeah, sure, he might have a nice rise in price if he scores 80 or whatever. But imagine they then have their bye and then he gets dropped the next week and Jordan Sweet comes back in. Like, you've got to imagine that possibility. But then on the flip side, you've also got to imagine that he could just be their number one ruck now and he could average 90 on the rest of the year and he could be 500K in 8 weeks. And he's given you an average of 90 over the buys. Obviously excluding next week when he's on the bye himself. So this feels like the sort of move that it like will either be an absolute genius or just another one of those moves where you bring them in, then they go again and it feels like a dead rookie because seeing a, it's not a rookie because it's his class as a mid-pricer, but
yeah,
the amount of, like, you don't want to trade guys out with a negative break even, but if they're stuck on your bench, you've got to do something with them if they're not playing. So this feels like massive high risk, high reward, but it could be also six eggs landing on your face at once.
That's fair enough. The other one is Rowan Marshall. Ugh.
No, so this isn't me suggesting.
Ah, here we go. Rowan Marshall. Why, Pato? Why? Because that was a juicy as fuck 180 odd.
All right, yeah. So if you bring him in this week, you will not get that 179 points. Just want to remind everyone. He's 544K, so it's not even like he's that cheap. You've missed the 180. His next two opponents are Gold Coast and Melbourne, which are just about as tough as it gets for Ruckman, not including North Melbourne in there as well. They're probably the big three. I know he can score not being in the ruck, but he struggles against these big rucks. Like, he scored 82 against Adelaide in round one. So that's kind of what we can expect. But the run home is not good. It is not good at all. So he plays Max Gawn twice for the rest of the year. He plays Tristan Cherry in round 21, which is the week after he plays Gawn the second time. So there's another back-to-back really tough ruck matchup. Round 13 bye, which isn't good for a lot of people, and people could be trading out Jack McRae. So you could be like possibly getting rid of a bye player for that same bye. So that might not actually be a net hurt for that bye. But then he comes back and plays Western Bulldogs, Collingwood, Fremantle, Hawthorn, Sydney. Like, that's a pretty tough ruck run. Then he plays Geelong, which isn't tough, but then Melbourne and North Melbourne. Like, that's a really tough ruck run. Now, his last three games are actually really good. Really, really good. So I feel like Rowan Marshall play is one that you can look at for Supercoach Finals, where he plays Richmond, Essendon, and GWS. And he could well be about 450K by then, because of that tough ruck run. So
yeah,
for me, I'm seeing a lot of people bringing in Rowan Marshall. Let's just see how many have brought him in as we talk. Yeah, so he's been traded in by 1,336 teams. Five people are actually trading him out, which isn't a horrible play, if I'm honest. I just want to say that this is a horrible trading option and you will regret it.
Okay. Forward line. So before we go into the forward line ones, you pose the question, is it worth holding some forward rookies to cover due to the forward options being kind of pass?
Yeah, so this is obviously team-dependent, Dano, because you might need the cash on a forward rookie's head to turn them into a primo, which obviously you do. But I just want to float the idea that, say, I feel like most teams have McRae and Horn Francis, so I'll use those two as the example. Obviously, they're the two big forwards that are missing. So I look at my own team with them on field. I have Levi Ashcroft in my flex position. I've got Elijah Hewitt. I've got Caden Cleary, and I've got Neil Erasmus. So there's four playing rookies. So I feel like I can afford to trade one of those guys in order to bring in a primo. But I know there's going to be teams that maybe have, what's a forward rookie that's not playing at the moment, Dana? So Cooper Simpson's the obvious trade-in option this week for me. So I will be looking at bringing him in and moving one of those guys into my midfield, which is great. But what's a rookie that's not playing at the moment, Dana?
Up forward, Ben Payton.
Who's sitting in my defense line at the moment. So, yeah, if you've got a Ben Payton on your bench, obviously you need to turn – you almost need to turn Horn Francis into McRae. But I'm just saying that if you've still got a Levi Ashcroft, and I know his break-even has now eclipsed his average, but he is a reliable rookie that's playing every week.
Yep.
Caden Cleary, again, break-even of 62, above his average. But when it's around their average, look, they're not going to tank in price. It's not like their break-even is 150 that they're just not going to get.
Max Hall, prime example.
Yeah, Max Hall. Yeah, like, he's ready to trade out, but he's not going to tank in price. So he is a fine hold. He is scoring just great. Elijah Hewitt's probably the exception with a break-even of 83, and he's probably who I'm looking at trading out this week to accommodate Simpson and a primo. But I just want to float that, especially with a McRae, where I don't feel like we're going to have much information this week. Obviously, he'll be out this week. It's almost certain.
Yeah.
He plays Sunday afternoon. I feel like if you're unsure about McRae, maybe you just trade out Jason Horn Francis, whose break even has ballooned to 257 because of the 22. And maybe you hold on to McRae because you're happy with Caden Cleary, happy enough with Caden Cleary. Obviously, he's not going to try score as much as some of these forwards that we're going to suggest, but you have to weigh out the price of the trade and whether you can cover effectively, because Jason Horne-Francis is going to be in the top six forwards. It's almost certain. It's just about whether you can cover for that amount of time. And the awkward thing is the buys are here. So these, like a double injury in a forward line that is really shit. Because I was looking at some of the names and I'm just like, what the fuck? Like the forward line is not good after that top three or four. But I wonder whether the trades are worth the guys that are going to come in, or whether we can just hold on to these guys and be okay with Ashcroft scoring 70s to cover, or Caden Cleary scoring 50 to 60 every week. Like, just, you got to weigh that up.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Like, it's fucking tough. We'll go on and talk about the forward line trade-ins. So first one, the main one, Bouyer. Well, actually, he's not the main one. The main one's in the third spot here. Chad Warner, 539K, 100 average, 24% owned, 102 break-even. He's fucking playing like a stud. I don't think he's a must trade in now. I think he kind of missed the boat, Paddo, because I reckon a guy that we're about to talk about from Fremantle shortly is probably the best one to trade in.
No, what I mean by that is I feel like that he probably is a top six forward, and I've got to admit that and move on quickly and just, yeah, say that I missed the good price, but I've got to cop it on the chin and probably bring him in this week.
Do you like how Paddo, listeners, is starting to, like, he's calling them fake primos, but then he's starting to put them in the run sheet and conceding? How long is it going to be till Bailey Dale makes that fucking defense?
They know. I am going to die on that hill. Bailey Dale is not a good option. He cannot play Essendon every week.
Anyway, speaking of Essendon, good segue there. Nick Martin, 530K, also has defender status, 100 average, 7% owned, 75 break even. A bit of a bipolar scorer. He'll either score you 70 or 140, but it averages out okay. and he's got a good enough fixture coming up, Paddo. So what do you think about Nick Martin, the bloke that you traded out of your team?
Yeah, I still don't love the role. Like, it feels a little bit Sheasley in the fact that it's going to be a bit up and down, because when Sheasel plays forward, he's very up and down, depending on the matchup. So if you want two of those guys in your team, then sure. Like, it's a fine option. Essendon are not good.
No, they're trash.
So that comes into it. And there's a lot of guys playing halfback for them, and I don't think they can work out what the right mix is. I don't think McGrath and Redmond and that, like, is the answer. But Nick Martin at half forward, like, it's okay. He's going to score more than Horne-Francis for the next month.
Yep, fair enough.
So are most people, obviously.
You know who really is going to score more than Horne-Francis? Shea Bolton, 430K, 90 average, 4% owned, minus 8 break-even. This is the play, Paddo. You look at his scoring, you take that 5 out of his scoring, and how fucking hectic has he been going?
That's the point. That's literally the point, though, Dano. So you talk about that 5. Most people might have a 5 that is injury-affected or anything like that. Shea Bolton played 103 minutes and scored 5 in a game.
Yep.
But the 4 weeks that literally sandwiched that game is 115, 102, 114, 150.
Yep.
And I just, with the
then you look at his coming, other three games, 89, 87, 94.
Yeah. Two of those up games forward. Are against two of the worst teams in the comp.
Doesn't matter. Still scored.
I just needed, like, this was my favorite player, Dano. So I'm very well versed on Shea Bolton and what he can be like. I also owned him last year, so there might be a slight bias there. But Shea Bolton, when he's not interested, is an awful AFL player. Shea Bolton, when he's interested, is possibly the best player in the league. It is literally chalk and cheese. So I don't know. The thing is, he's got a negative 8 break even. So at the very least, you could flip Horne-Francis to Bolton, make money from that, but also make money from Shea Bolton going up in price. So even if he scores another one of his 5s, he's still going to go up in price. Sure, the break-even will tank, but he's still going to go up in price. And then he plays Gold Coast, North Melbourne.
Mind you, that five.
Got the buy in there as well.
That five is in that negative eight break even rollout too. So if he scores 90 this week, oh, just thinking about it, his break even's going to get less and less.
Yeah, that will roll out, which is nice. But also, what if he scores 20?
Yeah, true. Then it's fucked again. Yeah. But I can't see that happening right now. He looks too interested.
So, yeah, he could make 100K over the buys.
I'm not saying him making money and then trading him out. I reckon he's playing that interested that he's a keeper.
Yeah, I mean, he could be.
And I'm the value for money guy right now. No one over 600K. He's 430K. You could be getting a keeper for 430K.
Yeah, and he's averaging 40% CBAs over the season as well, which is pretty consistent. The last 2 weeks have been around 50%. So the CBAs are there. They do have a few mids out. Hayden Young's not anywhere near coming back. Jagan might be back soon.
Young's going to miss most of the home and away season.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly.
So, no, I'm all look, it on could be a the play. Shea Bolton train. I reckon it's the best play this round, honestly.
If I bring Bolton in, I could afford Butters or Bont.
There you go.
But not before they buy. I can't do it.
I don't think Bont's going to drop much in price, honestly. He keeps getting break evens of like 140. You're like, he's going to fucking hit it.
Yeah.
That's the frustrating thing. Butters, on the other hand.
He's tanking. I told everyone to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. So, good play, good play. Last one, Harry Mackay, 431K, 80 average, 0.7% of teams and 30 break even. Paddo's put this in because apparently he's got a really juicy run over the just over the buys.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting. So the Giants this week isn't a great matchup for forwards, even though he has scored 144, 142 in his last two against them. Sorry, that was Cripps. Don't mind me. But the bye next week, and then he's got Essendon, West Coast and North Melbourne in the 3 weeks after their bye. So obviously you can wait 2 weeks on this one. But it's an option if you need a cheap forward that would be a stepping stone. Again, if you've been gung-ho on trades, then don't do this. But this is for all the kings and queens that have held on to some trades and not been stupid with their trades.
Now, can I just give an honourable mention? Because every week when I'm saying someone and they pop the fuck off, you don't include them on the run sheet. But you like to remind me if on the odd occasion when I say someone's going to pop off and then they don't, you like to put them in and say, I told you so. Luke Jackson, Paddo. I said, is he a play? You're saying no. Fucking Peter from Nerds for Life is like, ooh, yuck. Got a 143. His last two have been 111, 143. Wouldn't be trading him in now. But, yeah, kind of missed the boat there with the early 500K range. So honourable mention there. And it wouldn't surprise me if Schreck ends up being out a lot longer than what they are saying.
He also, because I was looking at this, he also wasn't scoring horribly with Schreck in the team.
Yeah. So I don't mind it for the little bit of ruck cover too.
Yeah, you just never know.
He's like that flex guy. Anyway, question time, Paddo. So
I've just done Bontepelli in and I've fallen in love with my team.
There you go. So, question time. First one, Peter, Nerds for Life super coach, goes. So, he's mind you, he's commented on Twitter and also commented on Facebook. I'm going to start with the Facebook comments because his Twitter comment, I fucking called him out on. So, this is his Facebook comment, and then we'll get to the Twitter later. So, Peter, Nerds for Life super coach, goes early in. I think he meant early on Mills, if named, dominated the VFL. I'm saying yes. Paddo, you're saying no.
I'm saying no. I can listen to the argument for next week, seeing how he goes after 1 week in the AFL. It is a nice matchup, though, against Sydney.
Yep. Jason Patterson.
Against Melbourne.
Jason Patterson says, thoughts on Shea Bolton? I say big thumbs up.
We just talked about him.
Yep.
Not a bad option. Good at footy.
Yep. Sam says, what do we do with Jason Horne-Francis and now McRae with his dodgy back? Well, it's punctured lung as well. We've already discussed that, so we can move on from that first bit of the question, Paddo.
Yeah, I just want to say I know what you're talking about with the whole 99K rookie thing. That's a post-buy thing. You need to be looking at rookies that are playing because you need the cover. If not, you're holding your rookies that are playing.
You've done it again because I haven't asked the question.
Sorry.
I said, that was the first part. And then you've jumped, you've fucking done it again, Pat. You're too keen. So Sam's second bit is, with some rookies coming to the end, aka Hewitt, Cleary, Trainer, do we hold them as cover for the buys or move them on for rookies at 99K? Now, there's your rant. So you've done it in reverse.
Yeah, I think it's too early to bring in non-playing rookies. We've also got the mid-season bye coming in a few weeks as well. So that should give us a few more options as well. But we touched on this before in terms of the rookies coming to an end. Hewitt probably is a trade out, but Cleary, Trainer, you could probably trade out depending on what other defense rookies you have. It's all team dependent, but you need your playing rookies. Have a play if you've got Supercoach Plus, have a play around with your buy planner and just count your primos and count your rookies. Don't count your rookies if you're planning on trading them out, because they're obviously not going to play after you trade them out.
Can I just say something quickly? George Hewitt, I know it's a different Hewitt, is at 587K right now with a break even of 130. Finally dropped back below 600K, Paddo.
Yeah.
Juicy, juicy. Yeah. Liam says, is it likely that we end up finishing teams without being full primo? With the injuries that are hitting and having hardly any rookies coming through, could we potentially have a couple of 400, 500K guys finish in our sides? I think I'm heading down that way. This is why, Paddo, and I've said it previously, and it potentially could happen in the buys, I'm honestly considering trading out Gorn to free up money. Because I am going to be that desperate for cash gen. And I know you're like, oh my God, why would you do that? I never traded Gorn in. I started the fucker. So to me, doesn't really matter too much. But if I can free up some cash and get a ruck in that's still scoring okay and then get in some like upgrades elsewhere, I'm actually considering it. Not this round though, because I got Callahan and McRae.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the worst option. If you're happy with potentially seeing him score 160, having just traded him out. But I see the logic for sure. It's worked before for people trading guys out at top dollar because they do generally drop. It's funny because Gorn has a break even of 182 and his projected score is 181, which is nuts. Pretty unlikely he gets that, especially against Grundy, who's not the worst ruck. But yeah, it's not a horrible play.
Yeah. So Liam, I'm actually might be shifting my rule soon to not trading in anyone over 550K instead of the 600K. So the 400 to 500K guys like your Rowles and whatnot when they drop down or your Shea Boltons, I'm honestly saying get them in because of this rookie crisis that we've got and the hardly any cash gen. Chris goes, two-part question. Now, Paddo, remember what two-part means? You don't jump the gun because I'm reading the first part first.
All right, gotcha.
Okay. 20 trades left. Last full round before buys / best 18 starts again. Can we ride the horny one on the bench for 4 weeks, or is that just too long? Fuck, man. Got to be real horny with that one.
Here's kind of what we talked about before with the Bolton thing. Like, if you're... Look, talking about riding someone for 4 or 5 weeks, it's someone with a negative break even and averaging 90.
Bring in Bolton.
Yeah. I think I'm on board now.
Yeah. Well, he did say with that one, sideways trades stink, especially ones you will likely reverse in 4 to 6 weeks' time. So, yeah, I get that.
But if it makes you money, and we're talking before about the whole Gorn thing about being creative with our cash flow, you know, you might make 100K with Bolton in 4 to 5 weeks, but also make what 30, sorry, what is it? 80K from Horn Francis to Bolton?
I just got this like vision, right? That I look like an absolute genius and it'll probably, the chances are it'll backfire, but obviously not this week, but let's say when does Melbourne play have their bye, Paddo?
It's round 15, isn't it?
Trading Gorn out, upgrading elsewhere, then Gorn comes back and he gets a 90. He gets a 105, 110, gets a 105, gets a 90. In that four-week stretch, he drops so much cash. And then the guy that I bring in gets the scores the same, essentially.
Do you really want to not own Gorn against Port Adelaide, whoever is rucking for Port Adelaide at that stage?
If Jordan Sweet comes in,
It's still...
I also think that teams are going to start figuring out how Gorn actually gets most of his points.
He's been doing this for 10 years and they haven't worked it out.
But this year in particular, it's parking in the same spot on that wing, teams bombing it long, and he just comes in and marks it.
What I will say regarding Gorn is that the three games he plays after his bye are all pretty tough matchups.
See, this is the play I'm going to go for.
After the bye.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I trade him out at his bye.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, right now, listeners, I will do it.
I'm going to be sure to hold him to that too, everyone.
I'll be the sample size. I'll trade Gorn out unless there's some fucking thing where I got three injuries and I have to hold the fucker. But if all goes well, I'm going to trade Gorn out at his bye. I just don't know who the fuck I'm going to bring in. we'll see. And then he says, second part, what is worse, AIDS or Essendon?
Well, Essendon are pretty bad, but they didn't result in the loss of one of the best frontmen in music history. So, Essendon. No, I'm kidding.
Fuck. Michael goes, thoughts on Viz? So
that'd be Vizentini.
Yeah, I was just about to get there. Thank you. Simpson as downgrade target / side swap. We've already discussed that, so we can move on. This one hurts, Paddo. Do you remember when?
Yes.
Fuck me. Oh, so for listeners, his next bit is also Noble or Clark. Now, listeners, I reverse traded John Noble out of my team, 5 minutes before? Not even 5 minutes before the Gold Coast bounce, Paddo?
Yeah, something like
that. I was so fucking set on him. I even tweeted about it. I'm like, nah, I've reverse traded. Watch him fucking pop off. And he fucking popped off. And I can guarantee you he's going to fucking have an insane run for the year, the rest of the year. And it's all because I didn't trade the fucker in. He's playing good. I don't mind John Noble. If you're going POD territory and you need a bit of a point of difference, John Noble's a G. I can't separate him, honestly.
Yeah, fair.
Okay, James has 50 million questions, so that's why I left him till the end of the Facebook one. So he goes, DPP chances, ? Well, there's news articles coming out about it. We know Rosie's definitely going to get it. There's not too many more of note, is there, Paddo?
No, not really. Rosie's the big one.
Yeah, Rosie's definitely the one. James goes, what to do with all the injuries? We've already discussed it. He goes, why do Melbourne teams not get suspended, but interstate teams get the suspensions? I'm with him on this one.
I don't actually know what he's referring to here, because Geelong are the almost the biggest culprits of this, and Collingwood.
Yeah, but they're not getting suspended.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So I think it's more so if we go back last week, who got suspended? Because I think a Sydney player got suspended. Oh, Jesus. I'm trying to find. Oh, yep. Here we go. Match review 4 hours ago. The West Coast Eagle cops rare charge for bump on Saw Saint. Here we go.
Another one where it wasn't a free kick, but then it turned out to be.
Brady Hoff has been fined for bumping a hurt Rowan Marshall.
There you go.
So he's just been fined. Young Saint Mateus Philippou remonstrated with Hoff hurting his finger. Midfielder Clayton Oliver was the only other player charged from Sunday's games and can accept a $1,000 fine. There must have been more. Surely there's more suspensions somewhere. Hang on. There's got to be. He wouldn't have said this without it. Jesus Christ. Nah, it's too hard to find. But anyway. I get it. I do think that especially the New South Wales teams do get a copper raw deal. James goes, tag watch, as he does every week. We will do the tag watch at the same time as the VCC options because we've just worked out James just likes to ask every week. So moving on to the Twitter, or X formerly known as Twitter. Oh, here we go. Okay. We will get to... There's not much here. Honestly, Paddo, there's Josh's question. He just said, thinking this, so trading out Cleary and McRae, trading in Sinclair and Bolton, leaving him with 3,100 remaining?
I personally feel like McRae's a hold, but Training in Sinclair and Bolton, really nice.
Okay, now here we go. Here's the call out, Paddo. Peter from Nerds for Life Supercoach on Twitter goes, I've got five for the goodbye in Clark, Sinclair, Brayshaw, McRae and Marshall. I'm now considering Jackson as my Jason Horn Francis replacement. That's too many, right? I could hold Daniel, who's in my mid, to replace the horny one. So I've responded so quickly saying, you literally said you would never pick Jackson and told me you were disgusted by my suggestion. What changed? Then he goes, well, I was hoping you would forget this for starters. Also, I wasn't expecting him to actually look good. Okay, fine. I'll stick to not having him. Probably best anyway for when Darcy is back. But honestly, I actually think he's a good option.
Yeah, but if you've already got five primos in that buy, it's too many.
Yeah, that's fair.
So that even rules out Shea Bolton.
Yeah, true, actually. True. All right. Well, we'll go on to our VC and C options and tagging. So we're not called the Supercoach co-captains for nothing. Every week, we give you guys VC and C options to set your team apart from the rest and also try and predict tags. First game is Thursday night, Geelong versus Western Bulldogs at GMHBA Stadium, otherwise known as the Giants Playground, otherwise known as the Battle of the Pound. There's a lot of words in there, Paddo. Who you got for VC in this one, and why is it Baz or Bond?
Mate, or this will be front row watching from the lounge room. I really want a VC Bailey Smith, but I also feel like in these sort of games, they usually get caught up in the hoo-ha of
Bond,
the emotion of returning. Not that he's returning because it's a home game, but getting caught up in the emotions. Like, I feel like the first person to get up to Bailey Smith will be Libba, and it will be an all-in fracas. So the evidence is that Bailey Smith is averaging like 135 at GMHBA this year, has gone 150 the last 2 weeks. Was it 3 weeks? Oh, yeah, no, 2 times before that. Like, he's in incredible form, playing against his old team. Like, there's a lot of bad blood there, but I feel like the emotions could get caught up in him. Bontempelli actually has a really good record against Geelong, 122 and 141 in his 2 games last year. I know he probably can't go with him, but Ocean Mullen did a number on Zach Butters on the weekend, so that's back to being a thing. I feel like Mullen tried last year with Bontempelli and didn't work just because he's not big enough. So there could be something in that. They may just decide to go with like an Ed Richards or something, or a Libba, rather than Bontempelli, because he's just about untaggable with his incredible size. This is going to be a fun game to watch, though, Dano.
Yeah. We've rattled off some names there. What about a Bailey Dale for another 49 disposals? Nah, it's not Marvel Stadium. Anyway, move on. Friday, Essendon versus Richmond, Dreamtime at the G. If you are a Zachy Merritt owner, we know he played shit last week, but this is the game that we were talking about where he's going to pop off.
Yeah, the problem is he's got a break even of over 200. So
doesn't matter if you're an owner already.
If you have him, he's a great VC.
Yep.
Absolutely. I wouldn't be putting the C on him, but yes, as a VC.
Yep. Anyone else in this one? Timmy Taranto's going okay if you do own him as a VC, maybe.
No one has Taranto. If you've got Nankervis for whatever him. If you have Nankervis for whatever reason, I think he's a nice VC.
Remember when
as a POD VC?
Remember when Goldie used to be a negating ruck?
When he could run, yeah.
Imagine Goldstein getting like 120 in this game.
That's not going to happen.
Hey, they leak points to Ruckman.
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't really like anyone else in this one. And would Camden McIntosh tag?
He could try. He's not keeping with Merritt. And anytime Merritt's getting tagged, they're just putting him forward anyway.
Yeah. Oh, as I readjust my seat. Okay, Saturday, Carlton versus GWS at Marvel Stadium. I will be attempting to go to this game, use my membership, because I haven't been doing it. Look, I think Hewitt is actually a good shout in this one, Paddo.
Cripps.
Not Cripps for me. I reckon Hewitt. I actually feel like Tom Green will get the better of Cripps in this one.
What about TDK? if he returns.
See, I feel like they're going to give him another week off and then he's got his bye.
Maybe.
Yeah. It could be a very interesting selection for the Giants this week. Yeah. But I think, honestly, like a guy like Sam Walsh or if Adam Chera plays in the middle, someone like that, no, the Giants don't really have anyone to run with them. Like Bedford will tag, obviously. Will Bedford just go and tag with tag Sam Walsh? He's not really setting the world on fire, Walshy, but then again, he's got the potential to.
He got tagged this weekend.
There you go. So do you reckon Bedford will go to him? Or do you reckon Bedford gets dropped?
Would you drop two midfielders? Like I feel like with the Callaghan thing, you can't do too much to that midfield, sure. Although it is playing shit.
Yeah, it's
not. This is why I feel like Cripps is a great option because the Giants midfield is just deplorable at the moment.
I do like Tom Green. If you watched some of his game on the weekend, Paddo, Tom Green of hack kicking has gone. And, like, I'm actually impressed at how much he's improved and he's not just hacking it forward.
The problem is he going to have to shoulder too much of the midfield burden without Callaghan in there? And is he in turn then going to start getting more attention? So does Hewitt go to Tom Green?
I don't think Hewitt can go to Tom Green.
He's done it
before. He's not big enough. He's not big enough.
Hewitt's pretty big.
The only time... Okay, let's compare. Okay, George Hewitt height is 1.86 metres. Tom Green height, 191 centimetres.
It's 5 centimetres, mate.
It's a significant difference.
Oh, that's the size of a pinky. That's not enough.
They've actually listed Tom Green's weight here. I didn't think they could do that.
No.
It says he's 92 kilos.
Anyway.
Big boy.
Not an option. Next game.
Why do you keep discounting Tom Green?
Because I just feel like he's going to be the only one worth putting any sort of defensive attention to in that midfield without Callaghan.
Ah, fair. Hawthorn versus Brisbane at the MCG.
I feel like one of the Brisbane mids will go off.
Clug.
Yeah, not going to try and pick which one. It could be all of them. It could be two of them. It could be one of them.
Neil cops the fin tag. Or Hawthorn will see which one's popping off first and then switch fin to him like they did with the Suns.
I'll tell you what, if Newcomb's out, Dunkley could be a really nice VC.
Ooh, true. Who, yeah. I still like whoever brought in Clug, honestly, he's going good. Might as well use that POD-ness to VC. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay, 7:35 PM. We got North Melbourne versus Collingwood. Do North Melbourne tag Dacos because Dacos has been pus since getting tagged?
The problem is they're still winning. So, like, is the tag actually impacting Collingwood, or is it just impacting Dacos and his stat padding? So, I don't know. It could be worth a VC because if he doesn't get tagged, he could go off. But you probably want to see some form. I'm a Dacos owner, and I saw this is a juicy matchup, but I want to see something before chucking the VC on him because I've got too many guys in really good form that I can go with instead, including in this other game.
What is Dacos currently, by the way?
What
is he currently price-wise?
560.
560, okay.
With a high break-even. 162.
Yeah, true that.
He's going to be very cheap.
Went 129 and 124 and 99 in his last three against North Melbourne.
I feel like the VC option is Cherry.
Yeah. Can't Cherry just like calm the fuck down and like drop a 50?
No, it's going to break even of 89.
What a fuck face.
Him and Gorn could both be 750K soon. Isn't that crazy? 1.5 mil between two rucks.
See, I was kind of hoping that the Cherry would have a down game or two, like even just a 100 game, drop some cash. So then I can trade Gorn to him and free up some cash.
What's crazy is I traded DeConing to Cherry when Cherry was 557K.
Yeah, that was a good play. That was a very good play. See, there was a move that you did well.
There weren't many.
8:10 p.m., so not too long after that one starts, is... Oh, fucking hell, Paddo, can you pronounce these? Because I struggled last week and I swear...
Fremantle and Port Adelaide.
No, we're doing the freaking other ones.
So Wally up is Fremantle.
Yep.
Hang on.
Oh, mate, no, I did hear this one. It was Yatapulti.
Yeah, easy. They're the two easy ones. Or well, Nam's the easy one, especially living in Nam, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this is Optus Stadium. Andy Brayshaw bounce back game.
I hope so. The issue is, and it's so frustrating because I'm almost certain Port Adelaide will tag one of them. It's just guessing which one.
Well, I think that Sarong is starting to hit his straps now. Like, he's starting to learn how to break through those tags. Like, he's dropped down to 529, 530K, Pato.
Yeah, I know.
Two sub-100 scores.
Yeah, but, like, he's just not having the monster scores he was having last year.
He's just scraping 100.
Yeah, because he's getting tagged most weeks. Now, Brayshaw got the tag this week. He had Bedford, who scored 90. He got 99, and then Sarong went 117. So even that is just, it's not enough. I wouldn't mind a cheeky Brayshaw VC, you know, banking on the fact that it could be Sarong that cops, like Will Drew, or who's the halfback that's been tagging for them? Yeah, that guy. People know who I'm talking about. It's getting late.
Do you want the Connor Rosie in this one because you were talking about halfbacks?
Yeah. Yeah, I like Rosie in this one as a VC.
Yeah. Zach Butters? Yeah.
It could be a good option. Could be a good shout.
Jordan Clark? Yeah.
No. Port's not a good matchup for halfbacks.
I just want to see something. Did the original fake Primo score well last round?
No, you're like 90-odd.
Yeah, 91. Good call. Sunday's game. Oh, fuck. Kawana versus, fuck me, Waletich Marawa? I don't know. West Coast Eagles. There you go.
I think it's Waletich Marawa.
Yeah. So Adelaide versus West Coast. There we go. At Adelaide Oval.
Rankin?
I like Dawson.
Yeah, Dawson's a good one too.
He's starting to hit his straps a bit as well. And are we starting to finally see a Rory Laird crack the 100?
No. Maybe.
Because I was waiting for it, and he was one of the ones that I was really looking at, and he was like hovering on the 90s the whole time, and then he got a 117 on the weekend. He's under 500K, Pato. And
his previous
scoring against freaking West Coast has been insane.
Yeah, but no. no one has him but Riley O'Brien, anyone?
Ew, no. Watch Flynn Sanity happen and he gets a 140 like his first game this year.
No one scored 100 against Riley O'Brien in the ruck.
Yeah, fair.
Oh, actually, did Darcy Cameron break that?
Has Melbourne he did. Played?
Darcy Cameron Adelaide broke yet? That. 107.
Has Melbourne played Adelaide yet?
No.
Anyone else?
No.
Cool. Melbourne versus Sydney. And
Riley Thorpe if you have him.
I honestly cannot see in this game, by the way, Max Gawn getting that 181 projected. I cannot see it. He did get a 198 in 2022, though.
That wasn't Grundy, though.
Exactly. That's more so my point. He got 72 last year. So, honestly, if Mills is back, Heaney. Sucked you in there.
Yeah.
If Mills is back, go Heaney.
Yeah, not a horrible option.
How would you feel about paying a tag of over $1 million a season?
No.
Cool, because that's what Melbourne's doing with Clayton Oliver.
I heard that he's on 1.7.
Yeah, that's over $1 million a season. And they're paying him as a tagger.
Crazy. Viney's back this week, isn't he?
I don't know.
Clary could be back off the chain.
Maybe.
Gorn's the one. Anyway, no one's.
Yeah, no. I couldn't confidently pick Gawn this week, though, for a captaincy.
Yeah, fair enough. I've got a good one for you next round, though.
Okay, here we go. Oh, fuck me. Okay, last game. Euro Roke versus Gold Coast Suns. Okay, St Kilda versus Gold Coast. 13th versus 3rd. Marvel Stadium. Why is it Jack Sinclair?
Because he scored 147 against them last year. Because Dimmer refuses to tag halfbacks.
No shit. And Dimmer hates Marvel. And also, who loves Marvel? Marvel?
Jack Sinclair and St Kilda.
Mm-hmm. I knew exactly who you were going for.
Yeah. Sinclair will probably be my captain if Cherry doesn't go bananas.
I'm interested to see Noah Anderson. What's Noah Anderson's track record at Marvel? How do we see that?
Well, he's in your team, so you just click on him.
Yeah, I'm clicking on him. View player. Here we go. Season stats.
Career stats.
Oh, yeah, and then there's
the at one venue. Oh, averages 99 at Marvel in 15 games.
That's actually quite high, considering.
It's not too bad.
He really loves the MCG and Norwood. Yeah, right.
And Barossa.
And Barossa. One game. I just want to look at his previous history.
He only had 105 against Richmond at Marvel in round 6.
He had 105 against St Kilda at Marvel in round 13 last year. But 2023, he got a 134. So I don't mind an Anderson roll of the dice.
On the St Kilda just randomly tagged, though, and that's what I'd be worried about. And with McRae possibly going out, like, does a Windhager go back into the midfield just to strictly tag? And can you be confident that's not Anderson?
Or would it be Raoul? Because everyone keeps talking about Raoul. Ross is a different cat. He doesn't give a fuck about the media. He ends up just picking whoever he wants. So I get your point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hard one.
I mean, he could tag fucking Daniel Rioli, for fuck's sake. Like
John Noble.
Yeah, like it's Ross Lyon. You don't try and predict what he's going to do.
Yeah. No, that's
fair. Why you know Dimmer's not tagging Jack Sinclair.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, we'll finish it up there then. Paddo, what's your ex formerly known as Twitter handle?
At PAWTOSCCC.
Mine is at DANEOSCCC. And you can also find us on Facebook, Supercoach Co-Captains. We got a bit slack with the images and whatnot last week, Paddo.
Well, speak for yourself. I put my trades and captains up.
That's not an image, Paddo.
We don't need an image. Words are fine.
And I edited that. I did. If you noticed, I actually edited your post.
There you go.
Yeah. Now we'll try and do some more pictures and shit like that. But anyway, from us at the Supercoach Co-Captains, I'm Dano.
And I'm Paddo.
And this is our signing.
Fuck off.